Okay, we're about to begin a brand new sugya, a little bit of a difficult sugya. We've already done our MS, but hopefully we'll be able to plug through it and understand and get a better hop on of what's going on. So the Gemara is picking up where we left off last week with Mishnah. The Gemara already told us that there are different degrees of penetration of Isser, the idea that a palm is nivlin with other mutar, so not all Nesinus palms are created equal. Sometimes the palm penetrates the entire fruit, and sometimes the palm only penetrates a small degree of the fruit. So when it's beneficial, we know what the answer is. That's mamish osu bekulo, that's a given. When it's only derech tzli, so then it's significantly less. How much less? So we have different opinions in Rishonim, maybe they're netila, maybe they're klipa, maybe nothing. Our Rambam, there are different possibilities. Just as an aside, only because we spent so much time on the Rambam on Thursday, I have to give a little bit of a disclaimer that Shitas Rambam had a big chalish tadas later in the afternoon about that Rambam. It was bothering me, eating away at me. I said, what I said was, is that according to the Rambam, so the chalev is part of the meat, and it's all roasted together, and all the chalev is spreading, and the whole thing is becoming treif, and the only thing that the reason why it's mutter is because it's less than kedech ilas pras. So it was something bothering me about that. There's a lot of rechvarim write that way. They write that lashon, that according to the Rambam, you had all the chalevs there, and all the chalevs there, and all the chalevs there, and I kept that, I couldn't pinpoint what was wrong. What was wrong is that, what in the world is the chalev there? The din is the chalev has to go on the mizbech before the tzli. The Mishnah says that. The Rambam says that prefers, of course, the chalev is put on the mizbech. So, what was the Rambam referring to? So, even though, if you look at some achrayim, the Mamish described the chalev itself being part of the. It can't be. It has to mean some of those other things, some of those krumos, some of those watered down kinds of chalev. The real McCoy, the chalev, hakloyos, and that's the stuff that's going on the mizbech is not there by the time you roast it to go in Pesach. There's other things in there. I'm not retracting from my entire Torah. I'm just retracting by, I maybe went overboard a little bit because I was mushpa from those Acharonim who were really going on the bandwagon that all the chelos being roasted together. Off the record, some of the chelos, some of the things, there are things that are roasted are being roasted. The basic mahalach of the shir is still true because once you fall back on that Rambam that says that kedech ilas pras, when there's less than a kezias, kedech ilas pras, there's no time kika derais anyway, then you don't need any of the other answers. Everything we said before that was superfluous. The Emma's answer, according to the Rambam, is that once you don't have to share their eyes, everything's only derabbanan, but derabbanan, they never asked to become in Pesach. So I apologize if I went a little bit overboard in terms of I got too excited about the chelev, so I'll have to backtrack a little bit on the chelev. Don't blame it on me. Achronim used that lashon, but it's very hard to understand what that means. Anyway, that was just an aside back to today's shift.
Yeah, so, other stuff is also their answer?
What?
Other stuff.
So according to the Rambam, maybe according to the Rambam is a suffix, but that stuff is also their answer. Yeah. Could be it's also their answer. So, getting back to that story, so it's clear from our Mishnah, from our Gemara, that different processes of cooking and roasting, etc., will create different degrees of penetration. Just how serious these taimim are, is this a real problem to rice or only a problem to rabbanan? This is part of our old story that we haven't even begun to discuss. The arichos yet, hopefully down the line at some point, is tam kikah derais, tam kikah derabbanan. So the answer to that question is going to be, some say it's always deraisa, some say it's sometimes deraisa, some say that it's mostly not deraisa, once in a blue moon it's deraisa. So everyone agrees that there's some degree of tam kikah derais. Tam kikah was not made up by the rabbis one fine day. They decided we have nothing else to do, so we'll start the Tosidayim, we'll start Muksan, Mishalachan, we'll Mechanic and Purim, and we'll throw in tam kikah for good luck. Everyone agrees that tam kikah exists nidarais in some shape or form. How much it translates to mean and when it actually applies their ice and when it's only with the Rabbanan, that's subject to those eight sheetahs that we were talking about, we referenced before. But again, there definitely is a problem, either their ice or the Rabbanan, whenever there's the same as Tom. And the Mishnah, the Gemara, telling us that depending on the type of process, there's going to be different degrees of penetration of the same as Tom. So now comes the Gemara and qualifies the qualification. The Mishnah started talking about Bishul. Then the Gemara qualified that and said, Amar Shmuel, Lo Shonel, Es Bashmuel, Mitzlah. No. And now the Gemara is going to question Tzli itself, even within the world of Tzli. So we're at the barbecue, Labor Day weekend barbecue. We're only talking about barbecues now. Within barbecues, there are different kinds of barbecues. So the Gemara says, really, is it true? So the bottom said, Yvav and Reveiz, the second line from the bottom, Inni, is it really true that Tzli, everything is great? It's maybe Klipa, maybe the Tila, maybe nothing. Is that true? Mahomer Rav Huna, if you roast a goat with its chelev, so you cannot eat any of the goat, even the ear of the goat, the last we checked that, even those who don't know veterinary medicine too well, the ear of the animal is pretty far from the chelv. The chelv is down in the Kishka area. So the ear is 3 feet away, depending on the size of the goat, it's pretty far away. And alpha bichain, the tam is penetrated basically bakulo. So basically what Rav Huna just told us is that even though it's tzuli, gedisha tzola b'cholvai, it's a disaster, it's the equivalent of bishul and asas legamri. So Rav Huna is undermining Shmuel's name, and however kasha, steer between what Shmuel told us last week's year, that tzuli and bishul are different, and Rav Huna is equating tzuli to bishul. The Gemara says, no, the three magic words on the top, it's that he died in an aleph. Shayim yichelev de mifa apeya. Chelev is different. Shmuel's statement is true, and Rav Huna's statement is true, but not all things that are roasted are equal. If what you're roasting is a davar ha-mifa apeya, something that oozes, that gushes, that, you know, that you just think of that chelev just melted away, just spreading, the schmaltz just going in all directions, clogging up the arteries, causing all kind of cholesterol problems. You got the picture, right? That's shiny chelev ha-mifa apeya, and that is basically, seems to me for the Gemara, the equivalent of bishul v'kula. The only kind of tzli that Shmuel was talking about, you have a lean piece of meat, there's no fat on it, just throw it onto a, you know, barbecue spit or something. So that's what Shmuel meant to say, Lo Shana Elishan is Bashel, Aval Nitzla, either Klip in the Teal or nothing, depending on last week's year. So odd kind of different Gemara. So the basic cloud that's going, that starts the sugya off, is this notion that Chelev is Mefapeya, and as Mefapeya, it's basically Aisiv Akulo, it's pretty much for practical purposes like a bishul. So comes Tysus and poses a question. And it's a very strange kind of a question that Tysus poses, because usually when you have a question, so there are different kinds of questions. Sometimes you have a question from a source, like, you know, I said something and there's a higher, more authoritative source that's contradicting what I said, like in the Gemara. What's the Lashon of the Chazal used for that kind of a question? When the Gemara asks the question from a higher source, that's Meisve, right? That's a Meisve. How do you translate Meisve? What? Well, what's a Meisve? Meisve is, whatever, sixth grade, so S.A.R. Gemara, got a list of words. Meitiv wasn't Meisve then, it was Meitive in those days. But Meitive means She'elav in Makor Chazak or Makor Chalash. I did not learn that in yeshivas. I understand the diukim. She'elav mimakor chazak amakor chalash. It means it's a question from a harder source. So that's one kind of a question. So in Rishayim, you also find those kinds of questions. Namely, the Gemara says something, and now, well, there's a stronger source, there's a Mishnah or something against it. Sometimes you'll ask a contradiction of two sources which are equal footing. What's that called in the Gemara? That's like Urminu. That's a Rumula or Urminu. Rumi means he asked. Urminu means we're asking. It's a question from two sources that are equal footing to one another. So you'll have a question from a Mishnah to a Mishnah, a Mishnah to a Rice, a Rice to a Rice, things like that. That's an Urminu. A Maskif is a what? It's a question of Misvara. That means I don't have any mock. It just doesn't make any sense. So Tosfos also, the Rishonim also ask different kinds of questions. Some questions that Rishonim ask are questions of, hey, wait a second, how can the Amorim say this? Because the Mishnah says that. Or sometimes it's a half of this Gemara say that, the other Gemara says, okay. Sometimes it's a question, how could the Gemara say this? It doesn't seem to make any sense. So you have those different kinds of questions. Here you have a very, very strange style of question. Because Tosfos is posing a question on the Gemara in a sense, not from a Mishnah, not from a Gemara, not from a Tesefta, not from a Rishalmi, from what? No. From Minhag HaOlam. From Noach Shiva HaOlam. Fred Tosfos, everybody knows, the HaOlam goes off. Like you say, who's Ashkacha? Is it under the Oilam's Ashkacha? The Oilam eats here. Everybody eats here. So Tosfos says, yes, Akash, from the Minhag Oilam. The Klal Yisrael have this common practice, this Maisim B'chol Yoyim, say the Baal HaTosfos. And the Maisim B'chol Yoyim seems to fly in the face of the Gemara. So either Tosfos is asking a question on the Gemara, they're asking Akash, the Minhag Oilam. I'm not sure which way Tosfos is asking the Akash, but there's some kind of contradiction between what's stated in the Sefer, stated in the Gemara, and what the Mais is going on in the butcher stores. What's going on? So, unless you know a little bit about Malichi, you probably had no clue what Tosfos was even describing. Anyone have any idea what the problem was? You weren't as like bothered as Tosfos was. Probably because you never saw Malichi in your lives, okay? So this is the problem. Because the Gemara later on, the 8th verse, talks about the details of Malichi. Malichi is necessary, obviously, this week's yesterday's dam. So you have to get the dam out. So one of the ways of getting the dam out is through salting. Salting has that koyach has that scientific ability to be able to draw out the blood. Fine. The only problem is that there's a big, big problem. If you take a piece of meat and you'll say throw it into a bathtub and throw a lot of salt in, so that's a great, phenomenal, gavaldic. What's going to happen? The salt's going to draw out all the blood, and what's going to happen? It's going to push it right back in again. It's like the Hagala question we spoke about last, right? So that's a disaster. So the Gemara says, you're right, that's a royal disaster. The only way to sanction the licha is that you have to have a way for the blood to ooze out. You have to have a place for the blood to drain out. And that's what the Gemara says in the Yantbeg of Kulit, Ein molchen elat kli menukov. You have to kasha meat, you have to slow feed on a kli menukov, on a kli that has holes in it, that has a place for the blood to drip out. So the blood will be drawn out by the salt. The whole mess is going to go down to the bottom, and then that's the standard ABCs of kashering. The problem is that if you do that, if you kash your meat in a clean menuka, what are you going to end up with? Sure, technical problem. You're going to end up with a raw mess on the floor. Okay, means you're going to be lumpish and meichel menuka, and your wife's going to scream at you because now you got blood and salt all over your living room floor, right? So you have to come up with a little bit of a better system. So the Mishnah came up with a great idea. It's called, let's be Maleach and a Kli Menukov, but we're going to put the Kli Menukov on top of a Kli Sheina Menukov. Namely, we're going to have a big bucket on the bottom, sitting on the floor. And now we're going to have something on top, which is going to be maybe like slats of wood or something, maybe something which has all the holes in it, and we're going to throw the pieces of meat. Yeah, we're going to make this really good color-coded, okay? We're gonna. Okay, that's our clay. This is our blue meat. All right. Okay. What's gonna happen? What's gonna happen? The blood is going to salt. This is phenomenal. I'm really into this. Okay. We have a salt all over the meat. Okay. And what's gonna happen is the blood is going to drip down through the holes through the slats. It's gonna collect in this. I don't care about that. Because the meat is suspended, so the meat's not sitting in its own blood anymore. When I'm finished, I'll take out all the blood and all the salt that will drip and dump it into the river and wash it out and do it again. So this was the practice in the days of the Rishonim. So Tosfos is referencing this practice. Tosfos didn't fill in that piece of information as to all the details I just told you. Look in the Rosh. The Rosh describes exactly what I just said. So this is what was going on. This is how they used to cash in the days of the Rishonim. It was a big problem. You know what the problem was? Problem was, every once in a while, you know, they would leave the meat sitting in the salt. It's got to sit in the salt for a long time. So they would have the meat sitting in the salt. Then they'd go back to writing Taisim. So they were in the middle of, you know, they were learning Bumtzi, Yavam, Stavim, whatever they were learning at the time. So they plop all the meat into the salt. They go to the sitting and learn. They come back an hour late, and what would happen? Every once in a while, what would happen? Some of the meat would slip through the cracks, literally. And you would end up having a piece of meat that was now sitting in this of stuff. All right? So what do you do with that one? So Taisi says, well, obviously, anything that's sitting in the guk is going to become awesome because there's going to be an asinus tam of the blood of the dam that's going to go into the meat. How is that this tam happening exactly? It's not hot. So what's it based on? What principle? It's Malach Kereseach, right? Based on Malach Kereseach. So tam is spreading. Tam is beginning to spread. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah! All this blood that's collected on the bottom, it's going to trafe up all the meat. How much of this meat is it going to trafe up? So says Taisus, it's ma'ase b'chol yoyim. What did we used to do? Says Taisus. What is Taisus right? What did we do? Anyone know Taisus? Whatever was inside the tzir is the gook and everything. Whatever's inside the level of this. Of the water with the blood, with the salt, whatever's inside there, it has to be discarded. Because it's Malach Kereseach. And what comes next? What do you do afterwards? You just take off how much? You just take off a Malach Kereseach. What's the Shia Malach Kereseach? How much is it? Klipa. Do I hear maybe what? Maybe the Tila. How much is the Klipa and Tila? I mean, come on, half a centimeter between the difference. And call it a day. And the rest of the meat is salvage. And Taisha serves it for dinner that night. So that's what's happening. So again, we were Malach in the afternoon. We wrote a Taisa Yivamus in the day after that. Then we came back. We took it out. We cut off a klipa. We brought it home. Our wives cooked it for and sure, Shalom Yisrael. So everything's gevaldik. So Taisa says, what happened? Gevaldik shrikin. What does the Gemara say? That whenever you have something which is tzli, or Malach is kiraseach, so Malach is light tzli, what trumps kedei klipa? What requires a bliya bakulo? What necessitates a bliya bakulo? What's going to cause everything to be trafed up? What's the magic word? Shani chel of the what? Mefapeya. So whenever you have a davar mefapeya in the speech, you have a problem. Where's the davar mefapeya? Point to me, what's mefapeya? Well, I'm going to turn around and ask you that question. What's trafed here? What's the equivalent of the chel? What's the davar asur here? The dam is davar asur. Must be, says the Isis. Dam is a davar mefapeya, right? Doesn't everybody know that? Dam, it oozes around all the place, so it's like the chel of it's mefapeya. Just as the Gemara says in Chum Tzadivav that when you have Chelev, it's Mefapeya Bekulo, even though it's Tzli, but sorry that it's Isa Bekulo, it's like Bishol. So Frek Toistras, that should be the halach equivalent of the Dam in the Tzir. And we should plug in the words of Isa Bekulo. And that is not what is being practiced in the homes of the Halakha of Alatazos. So when Rabbi Tam and the Ri and his Tamidim are eating dinner that night, they're eating tray for food, Frektosis. All the meat is tray. Every piece of meat that fell into the tzir is osir, it's maisim b'chol yoyim. You get the impression it's happening all the time. And the minhag ha'olam had been for hundreds of years just to cut off, discard the part of the bottom, throw off the klipa, and salvage the rest of the meat based on what? What happened to Mefapeya? So says Tosfos in one fell swoop. What's the answer to this question? What's the obvious? It's a pure Matzias question. So it warrants a pure Matzias answer. The answer is Dam is not Mefapeh. It must be Dam. And then Tosfos goes to show you Klolim and Hilchos Dam, Hilchos Malicha, that Dam in fact is not Mefapeh. Good. We can breathe a sigh of relief. Very good dinner. Back to the barbecue at the home of Rabbi Tam. Okay, everything is good. Hunky dory. The Beisai, not so good. Not so good at all. You know why, says Tosfos? Tosfos rephrases it. Everyone saw the Tosfos? Tosfos now revamps. Tosfos says, this shtickle Torah would be right if we were careful about our cholesterol. If we were having very, very lean meat and we would have nothing fatty in the meat, so then we'd be okay. Then we'd say, now we're going to have a bath over the day, put a creeper and go on. But Fred says, we all know, come on, we know that's a good fat piece of meat in here. Come on, you got your shmaka. I don't want to say chela, that would be good, but God, kishmak, shumon, there's some good fatty, give me a good piece of fatty meat, give me a good name, some really, kishmak of fatty meat. You know, guys, come on, there's a lot of stuff in there, right? Good, you know what I mean, okay. So you got some serious heavy-duty piece of meat in here, so says Tosis, wait a second, hold the phone, says Tosis, now we have a huge problem. What a huge problem? Because now we've just introduced into this mess a davar mefapeya. The fat is a davar mefapeya. But stop, Rabbi, stop, Tosis, before they continue. Stop, Tosis, what? But the fat is what? The fat is a what? The fat is a davar what? It's a davar mutter. The fat's kosher. It's the blood that's straight. So what's Tosis talking to your Chinese? What's Tosis cash? Tosis says, we're very, very worried right now that we explained away why the dam is mefapeya shkaf. So we're not worried about the dam being mefapeya bekulo. That's okay, right? Dam is not a problem. But wait a second. But this chayil, I don't mean literally chayil. I mean this fat here, this shuman here, and the shuman is mefapeya. So what is Tosis's real question, Rabbi Say? Plug in the words into Tosis kasha. What is Tosis Kasha? But the fat is mutter. What's the answer? No, the fat is not mutter. Because why don't we just... How did we paskin out all the fat that was in the bottom of the tzir? How did we... If we would have just paskin the shayla, is the fat of the tzir kosher? What's the answer? It's treif now. Why is it treif? Because it has a tam of what? Of dam. So we now have fat in here that is now osur. Fat is a dover hawa. And mefapeya, as a davar mefapeya, it should be aser bekulo. So true, a minute ago, we weren't too concerned, says Tosis, about the dam, because the dam, quite frankly, is not mefapeya. But once the dam asered up the shuman is mefapeya. You know, you would see it, that's science, that's chemistry. So the shuman is mefapeya. So let the shuman hanesar be mefapeya bekulo and trape up the entire heat, and that's not what's happening on the ground. That's Tosis. Everyone saw the cash. Everyone appreciated the cash. That was Tosis cash. So to answer this cash, it's like, you know, we're sitting in the year 2019, This doesn't even interest us. We've never seen kashering. You know, if you buy a box of the kosher salt, they'll tell you how to kasher. Nobody kashers meat anymore. Well, I mean, they do in the factory, you know, in Empire, they kasher chickens. We don't need kashers. You know, when I was little, there was still people still kashering their own chickens. But come on. It's all you remember your grandma, your mother used to kasher chickens. Yeah, my grandma loves shop. She said, it's not in kasher chickens. No one's kasher chickens in the last 50 years. Remember once when we shechted some birds in the dorm once. So Rabbi Rapp was shechting some birds, and we wanted to kasher the chickens. So we had no idea how to do it. And we had all learned it was bleak, but we didn't have a clue how to kasher anything. So we're reading the back of the salt box and try to follow step by step. So he called his grandmother. So his grandmother was giving him directions in German. But she could not, even though she had been living in America for 50 years, she could not say the stages of kasher. She hadn't kashered since she had left Germany 60 years before. She couldn't say the stages of kashering in English. She had grown up as a teenage girl in Germany, you know, knew how to kasher in her sleep, but she mamish couldn't explain it to him in English. Anyway, it gives you an idea of how lost the art of kashering meat is. That's why we did such a lousy job. Our German was a little bit schwach. We tried to, you know, plug in some Yiddish into it that didn't go over very well, and the whole thing was a disaster. Anyway, okay. One of the birds got away before it was kashered, before we shechted. We tried to shech two of them, and not me, for not a shech, but he shechted one, and then one of them flew away. It's twice no bell for her. It's about 30 years ago. Okay, all right. Everybody, so back to our story. So Tosfos says the solution to this problem is such a fundamental yisod, even though the problem itself didn't really speak to us too much, but the solution is so fundamental, is so critical, it alters all of your idea. And Tosfos coins a phrase. Tosfos writes, say that quickly. So the Acharonim rephrase the Tosfos. It's called the following. You have to say it, remember it. Alright? We're not going to say it like that every single time. We're just going to call it Ein HaNe'asar. All right, that's the code. That's the shortened version in the Poskim. Ein HaNe'asar. I was afraid to use it on the Mar Mekomos because no one would know what I was referring to, and I didn't want to write that whole long Megillah, so I made up my own phrase. Ein HaIsa Nispashet Yosim HaOser, but it's the same idea. Basically, you say the Tosfos is Bechadish is as follows: that yes, it's true, 100%, that the Shuman inside this Tzir became Treif. You can't argue with that. It's Mamish Treif. But notwithstanding the fact that it's Treif, and even though objectively it should have the ability to be Faveh Kula, because Shuman is a Dover HaMafaveh, but since the Chelev was never really Asa B'Tam Atzmai, the Chelev only became, the Shuman only became Asa B'Tam V'Dam HaBaluro, so the Shuman is a Dover HaNe'asar, the Shuman is not really Asa, there's nothing really interesting wrong with the Shuman. The Shuman is also there to believe a Dover also in it. When we map out how far this Dover HaNe'asar can travel, a Dover HaNe'asar cannot travel, cannot penetrate, cannot be Mavliya past where the original source of the problem was. So the original source of the problem was Dam, and Dam can only go so far. How far can Dam go? It's not derech bishul. How far could Dam go? Klipa. Maybe Netiva, probably just Klipa, and that's it. It ain't going past the Klipa, because, says Tosfos, it's not a wad, it's not a Dover Fapeh. So it's not a Dover Fapeh, it's not going past the Klipa. Even though the Shuman was Osir, and the Shuman is a Dover Fapeh, and therefore, if it was working on its own merits, it should be able to go the distance. It should run the marathon and asa the entire food and throw the entire piece of meat into the garbage and no fleishiks for the remaining time tonight. That's what should have happened. Says Tosfos, Zeman von da. You see from here, from where? From the Minhag HaOlam. The Minhag HaOlam had gesagt that it must be the Yesod, the Yesod, the Minhag HaOlam is is that Ein HaNesar, the Shuman is the Nesar, Yachol Esar, cannot Oser, Ela B'Makom Shah, Isser Atzva, what's the Isser Atzva? The Dam Yachol Espashim Shom. So the Dam can't go past the Klipa, then the Shuman can't go either, because the Shuman is not really intrinsically also, it's only also Vitamina. At can the Yisr, how you say this from Tysus. And says Tysus, you know, we're going to bring you another Raya that we're right. You can already see Tysus like nervous. And we're going to build a whole shtickle Torah in your day. They're in the Raisa based on the Minig. Well, maybe the Minig's items are wrong. No, we're going to bring you another Raya, says Tysus. We're going to bring you Raya from the very institution of Malicha itself. Forget about these crazy wild cases of a guy dropped a piece of meat in between the slap. The ABCs of mamash, every Malicha under the sun. This tells us, let's walk you through Malicha. Anyone knows what the basic stage of the Malicha are? So you take a piece of meat, first you have to wash it off. You must say you have to adach rishayna, different reasons to rishayna, why you have to do that, get rid of the dirt, get rid of the excess blood, but soften the meat. There's a lot of reasons why, but you have to do what's called adach rishayna, you have to wash it off the meat first, that's the key. Then you have to put a lot of salt on it. It's got to sit in the salt. And what's the next thing that has to happen? You have to wash off. After it sits for X amount of time, whatever that X is, then you have to hadacha shnia. You have to wash off all the salt because you have to wash off all the blood because there's some blood that's still sitting on the surface. Not everything fell into the bottom, so there's a lot of blood still sitting on the surface. That blood's got to be washed off. That's basically hadacha, melicha, and hadacha. That is the process that's been done for the last thousands of years. Whether you do it in Germany, you do it in Washington Heights, you do it in France, in the Balatoy, that's the way it's been done for thousands of years. Zosh date in the end of the 8th Parak Masech HaSechul. That's the belief. Says Tosis, the goal of the Hadacha Acharonah was obviously to get off what? To get off all the blood in the salt, because there's blood in the salt right now. If you ever see, there's a lot of red there. So you got to get off all the blood, all the salt and everything. So Baruch Hashem, if you finish the Hadacha Shniya, you're good to go. Gevaldik, there's no blood, there's no salt, there's no nothing. Then you cook the meat up. And you taste. What do you taste? It's salt. Of course the meat is salty. Now, we're not used to, you know what, we can't even judge it then because we always eat kosher meat, we hope, okay? But Lo Yitzuya, you ate a piece of meat that wasn't kosher, a piece of meat that was kosher, there's a difference. It is salty. There is no question that it's salty. I mean, in the empire, they know how to put the right amount of salt, not like we did. We did it, it came out like a world disaster, but they know how to put on the right amount of salt. Doesn't taste terrible, but there is a salty taste to the meat. There's no question about it. That's what everyone who eats non-kosher meat will tell you. That's kosher meat tastes saltier than non-kosher. Fine. It tells you that you have a problem. What's the problem? The salt is strength, right? If I would want to, let's say for example, before I washed off this meat, I would want to take a piece of salt and just eat the salt itself. Can I do that? Eat the salt. The salt is a blaze of blood down there. So how in the world can I eat the meat if the meat has the ta'am of salt and the salt itself is strength because it has a blaze of dam? What's the answer, Sestasis? Well, the dam can't penetrate into the meat. You know why the dam itself can't penetrate into the meat? Because dam is what's called Beshrak Shari, which is the exact opposite of what Bebe did. It slides off. The dam itself just slides off the surface of the meat. Whatever dam is sitting on top, it just slides off. The melach, the salt, is penetrating into the meat, but the salt is not a what? It's not a dover also the atzmoy. It's not intrinsically trained. The salt is only trained because it has that doesn't look like blood. So the salt is a belie of dam. The salt is a belie of dam, but the salt cannot go further than the dam itself. And the dam itself is not going anywhere. So the dam itself is not penetrating. The salt, halachically, is not penetrating. Even though I taste salt, it doesn't matter. Ein, say all the other, let's see if we can get it one more time. Ein, adesa, yochel, lesa, el, gavok, shiz, az, yochel, echsham. So it says, guys, just, you don't have to bring the riots from slats of wood and pieces of meat, you know, by mistake falling in the cracks and falling into the tea or anything. Every malicha is based on this. Otherwise, there's no way to explain what Klai's been doing for 3,500 years. How can you ever salt meat? There's always a problem of the time of the salt. And then Taisa says, I'll bring you another raya. You know, Taisa's giving up the raya from Malicha right now. Let's go back to Yerodea. I mean, it's all Yerodea. Let's go back to Ochos Taravis. Says Taisus, we spent an entire week last week talking about the intricacies of Kedei Klipa, right? The notion that Tom goes and it spreads in and it asks only Kedei Klipa because it's Tzulei. Klipa, maybe in the Tila, but we'll give the better of that Klipa. So, right, Amar Shmuel, Lashon, Lashazbat, Tzli, Kalif, Epsh, Begir, Legid. The worst it probably goes is Kedei Klipa. Frek Taisus, Kasha, I don't understand. I think I gave a musaf about this. Didn't we talk about it as Chumashia? You start off with a little problem, with a little problem comes a bigger problem. I understand. Kedei Klipa just became treif. Okay? So, it's treif! The barbecue continues. What happens? That Klipa should ask the next Klipa. Good. Okay. And what should happen next? Till you get to what point? You just ask the Bekulo. In Cain, what in the world was Shmuel talking about? Why did we waste the first week of Zizban last week talking about Bishul Asas, Bekulot, Sli Asas, much less? What do you mean Asas less? Every Kedei Klipa should Asar, Vaita, 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 Advi as well. Should Asar the whole piece of meat. Because one thing, Kedei Klipa is also strength to strife. So it says, what's the answer? What's the solution to that problem? The solution is, guess what? Since the original Isser did not have the ability to penetrate entirely, why? Because it was only their feet, their feet was already there. So it didn't have the ability to penetrate into the meat, not in the Mefapeh, so it's not going anywhere. So since that original Isser is not going past the Klipa, even though the Klipa is a Dabah and Nesar, and a Nesar, Yachal Eser, Alvach Shazafi, Yachal Echushan, the Klipa, which was Nesra, cannot go past what the original Dabah Isser was. So Tais has three Raya's Bruros to this Yisayf. Of course, they had a Nesar, a Raya Fun, piece of meat that fall into the tzir, and then go elements just take off klipa, nothing more, nothing less, even though there's fat in there. The fact that everybody salts meat and eats the meat, even though it's full of taste of salt, it's a little achpatli. And number three, the very institution of Kedei Klipa, which again exists in the Gemara, whether it appears here by Tzli, we're not sure, but Kedei Klipa exists in Chazal. Who remembers Chazal from last week? Where does Kedei Klipa appear in Chazal? For sure it appears. Where do we find it in Chazal? Kedei Klipa explicitly. Tzli, it's not explicit. But the Tosa Gova, we have it. Where else did we have it? By the Beis HaShchita, right? Beis HaShchita Reseach, we had it. Where else we had it? By the Koran Pesach, the Sikh of the Shem and Shal Truma on the Koran Pesach, Dava Muat. So there are Gemaras beferish that speak about the institution, the notion of Kedei Klipa. Says Tosus, every Kedei Klipa should, by definition, spread contagiously, should spread to Asa Bakulo. Zemin Fandara Yisod is right. This is the Tosus. Everyone saw the Tosus inside? So we have three Rayas, we have Yisod, now we have a problem.
Just back to the Melicha case, if a piece of meat falls into the blood, can you just do Melicha again?
No. Once blood spreads in through a principle of Tzli, or Melicha, or Kavosh, or Bishol, it's not going to come out anymore. It doesn't come out of Lachlan.
Would you have to remove Kedei Klipa after salting?
Of what? If what only?
Meaning if the Don makes the metal, you know, the salt.
No, you don't do anything. No, because the dam doesn't go in at all. Dam just slides off.
Yeah. When you buy like meat or chicken in the store, sometimes it's like red.
That's not really blood. That's just juice. That's red juice. It's Rishayim red. There was machlokes in my house last night about this. But we were away for Shabbos, my daughter and son came to have the babysit, whatever. They came to the Shabbos in the house. So they were discussing after Shabbos about some meat that they had eaten that was very, a little more red than my wife likes. My wife doesn't like the red meat too much. So she was describing some of the meat that she was eating over Shabbos. It was a little too red for me. And my son was saying, no, the meat that he had was also red, but he was okay with it. So my wife sat to him and said, honestly, how can you eat that meat? It's like eating blood. So he responded, what do you mean it's like eating blood? The Ron says, that's not called blood, that's called mail the alma. What? I said, he's right. That was not a good move. Okay, so that was an akudas and machlekas and some lost the alma. Okay, fine. So I basically back to our story.
I don't really understand. Tosos makes three
proofs. No one can really understand. I don't understand anything. Yeah.
In proof one and proof three, you remove the Kedei Klipa. But in proof two of the...
Because Dom doesn't go anywhere. Tom is Mishra just slides off.
But in proof two of the Melicha in general, you're still eating the salt. And the salt.
Right.
So how are you allowed to eat? If
because
you can't
the Dom, the Dom should have added already left. It was never really meant. All that the Dom gave to the salt was the Tom. And the Tom of that Dom is not It's not going anywhere.
But it's in the salt.
No, so that part, no, so that was already, that was already, that was already removed. I washed off the salt. So now the tam, even though it tastes like salt, but that's not tam of dam, because the dam part can't go that far. Salt itself is okay. So comes Tyson and says, this is all beautiful and wonderful. Three yisoidis, three rayas for this yisoidis. Tyson says, let's begin to analyze the down terms of law. Forget the mitzvah, let's analyze it in terms of law. How does this fit into the age-old machlokes who and who? Rabbi Natan and Rabbi Ephraim. Everything in your day, everything in Chulin, so it has to be analyzed through the eyes of Rabbi Natan and Rabbi Ephraim. Remember I said, we just started it last week? So guess what? I don't know whether the week's going to pass without referencing this Rabbi Natan and Rabbi Ephraim, at least the beginning of this month. Comes and says, let's analyze this. Does this Yisrael make any sense whatsoever? According to Rabbeinu Ephraim, this makes perfect sense. You know why? The premise of all three kashas was erroneous, according to Rabbeinu Ephraim. What was the premise of the first kasha? Hey, wait a second. The fat is what? The fat is treif, gavalt kishrigin. The fat's got a blia of dominance, so the fat is treif, and the fat is mefapeya. What would Rabbeinu Ephraim say? What would Rabbeinu Ephraim say? He said, the fat's what? This is not pas b'chol. You get the wrong part of Judaism. This is a different area of halacha. It's a shari surim. The fat's not also. You can't eat fat because it has a bliya of something in it. Okay, good, very good. But that bliya is not going anywhere. Kashi number two. Gevalt geshrigin, the salt's treif. Oh, yeah, yeah, the world's coming to an end. The salt's treif. What would Rabbeinu Ephraim say? Why is the salt treif? It's not treif. The salt may have a bliya of a treif in it, but guess what? That dam is what? Sure. That dam is Bishrik Shark. That dam already left a long time ago. It was washed off. 0-2. No? It's the third kasha? Every kidei klipa, gevalt, how can there ever be an institution of the klipa? People like the first klipa became treif. What's the answer? It never became treif. It's a davar mutter. It happens to have a bliya in it, but it's not itself problematic. So that original plea went as far as it could go. It's derech tzali, or it's derech mu'at, derech mi'at, whatever it is. So it only goes distance X, and the plea itself doesn't go any further. The kasha of Taisus that let the davar ha'nesar go the distance. What davar ha'nesar? There is no davar ha'nesar. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist davar ha'nesar. So according to Rabbeinu Ephraim, this entire Taisus, the chiva b'yatzayif, is meaningless. Rabbeinu Ephraim sitting having a barbecue, not even thinking of this kasha. It's even more than this kasha. But according to Hilgi Rabbi Dan, we have a problem. So now Tyson has to walk this tight rope, and he got to be careful not to fall off the edge. Tyson says, even in the world of Rabbi Dan, who says that it's a Dov HaNesar, it still doesn't go the distance. It's a Dov HaNesar, it's also Chitinas Tadel, it became also. It became also the Afa Pichein. It's not going to go any further. Why? Because Eila Nesi Yochel Esel is. The Bais said, do we understand this Taisus now? In the light of Benatam, Taisus says it's Benatam Benatam. He said the Pemole, even according to Benatam. What Taisus just told us is he is saying in Hilchas Chetik Anasas Neveva. There are two potential outcomes of Chetik Anasas Neveva. Chetik Anasas Neveva can impact us in two different ways. Chetik Anasas Neveva can impact us in terms of volume, in terms of quantity, how much issa do we have to calculate? And Chetik Anasas Neveva can impact us in terms of distance. So let's say when I have a davar ha'asur that penetrates into a davar ha'mutter. Okay, so I now have a davar ha'mutter that according to Rabbeinu Tam, we just labeled in effect as a davar ha'asur now, Chetik Anasas Neveva. What are the outcomes of that statement? What are the consequences of declaring the davar mutter as davar asur? So one of two things. Well, both. One is now when this davar hamutter slash asur falls into another taroves. You know what's the shaila? How much do I have to be mishar? Do I have to be mishar? Can I get the original isur, or can I get this entire new davar asur? That was the original state for a bit of time. That was consequence number one. Remember, right? This is back to the ABCs. According to Ben Rafaim, so the whole basar becomes basar, and now you have to chesh b'kineged that entire piece of basar. So it's only true by what?
So the first nafkamina for Petit Nas Nevela was a volume issue. But now Tosfos is raising the next step is, forget about a volume issue, let's talk about a distance issue. Namely, the original Isser only had a certain amount of oomph in it, only had a certain amount of clout, only had energy to travel. It could only do the 90-yard dash. It couldn't go very far. It was able to get the kosher to get the klipa, maybe then tila for good luck. It couldn't go all that far. But the Dover Hamutter has got a lot of energy to it. Why? Because it's a what? It's a bad what? What is it? It's a Dover Mefarpeya. It's got a lot of oomph. It's got a lot of kosher to it. Right? It's strengthened. It's much, much stronger. So it started out as a, okay, use a little mishalim. Anyone here from Florida? Okay, don't be insulted, but it started out as a category 2, right? The category 2 is not going anywhere. So what's going to happen with category 2? It's going to come, it's going to rain a little bit, blow down, you know, sukkah, maybe the kosher, that's it, right? But it bumps into this Dover Mefarpeya, and all of a sudden, whoa, it's flying over Bermuda, and it's picking up steam, it's picking up water, it's picking up koiches. All of a sudden, before you know it, it's a category 15, right? It's going, it's going to blow the whole Florida off into the ocean, right? So comes Tyson and says, L'chokra, that should be affected by Chetich Das Nevela. The same way that Chetich Das Nevela impacted in terms of volume of Isser, Chetich Das Nevela should impact in terms of strength and ability to penetrate, right? It sounds the same. It's the same Shaila. It's the same wonders. It's not a game. It's not going to do with science. It's a wonder of art. Do we really believe in our heart and soul that the Dover HaMutter became a Dover Osir or not? If you really think a bit of times right, that the Dover HaMutter became a Dover Osir, proof positive because you're Mishar Shishim Kenega, the whole Dover HaMutter. If you really believe that the Dover HaMutter transformed to become a Dover Osir, so then it should transform to become a Dover Osir and now have the ability to do what? To penetrate way beyond where it originally had its original Kaychas, because now it's a Dover Osir. So Tosfos state, no, name, it's not true. Not true, says Tosfos, that Chetichadas Nevela works vis-a-vis quantity, and it fails us miserably vis-a-vis what? Vis-a-vis distance and oomph and ability to penetrate. And it's not the two are not totally zebizeh. There's only Shnei Tosfos, right? Everyone read this Tosfos? Did everyone realize the Amkas of this Tosfos? Who here, when they read this Tosfos? You guys thought we're talking about dropping meat into slats of wood. You thought this Tosfos was just like boring Tosfos. Tosfos just said a mouthful. He said, Mamasha, are you saying this? A breakthrough. Chetichadas Nevela should have affected both quantity and distance. No, it's not true. To make matters even more difficult, according to Tosfos, is this chiluk a chiluk on a level of what? It's a deraisa like a chiluk. But I'm Torah, this is true. How do I know that's true? Because what do I know in my heart and soul Tosfos sheet about Chetichadas Mamasha Surim is? Tosfos, we already proved from two Tosfos in. Remember the Tosfos about Kasher and Kalim, from Kalim's Raya from Tosfos, from the earlier Tosfos. We know for a fact that Shitas that Tosfos permeating the entire Perek is that Chetichadas Nevela b'Shari Surim Kuntavetav is Mamasha Deraisa. Now we have no idea why it's true because we don't know anything about Tamki Iger yet, so we have a long way to go to figure out what the source is, but we know for a fact it's Deraisa. So Tosfos telling me on a level of Deraisa that Chetichadas Nevela min ha-Torah can do one thing and can't do something else. It affects kamos, but it doesn't affect distance. It's a good word for that. Richuk. Okay. So this yes, and this no. Azoy shtein Tosfos, right? Who here read the Tosfos? Who here came to the realization that's what Tosfos just said? If the Tumas Hadesh would have been in shame, he would have raised his hand. So Tumas Hadesh and Ray realized this. He read the Tosfos like it's supposed to be read, and he realized, hey, we got a big problem. This L'chaira is Bilei Purim. This Mamash Sisrei Torah here. And that is our statement Tosfos. Now, again, as we pointed out, Rabbeinu Ephraim, anyone who held up Rabbeinu Ephraim, they were celebrating Labor Day weekend. They didn't bother coming to Shia today because they didn't want Rabbeinu Ephraim did Shia for today. The whole thing was Dvar Miyam. The three kashas were Dvar Miyam. The Yisod doesn't make any sense. It's not necessary. So go have a barbecue instead of talking about barbecues. That was Rabbeinu Ephraim's Shia. What other great Rishon probably wouldn't be too bothered with any of this?
But other great Rishon out there probably would not be losing too much sleep over these kashim and wouldn't be too sad about this Teresilas. The Ran probably wouldn't be too interested in the Sugya. You know why? Why wouldn't the Ran be interested in this kashim, the Sugya? The Ran held, Chatina says, no, but I, but Midrabban, it's a problem. No, what did the Ran say? The Ran said, Chatina's the veil is only Midrabban. Let me show you. As the Gezeira of the Wach, and therefore, it only applies when you're dealing with potential. It only applies derech wa. Derech bish doesn't apply derech tzliz and malicha. These ma'isalach. So most of these kashya tais, this is malicha. This is malicha. This is tzliz. They klipas. Klipas. Rather, it's klipas or a derabonon. There are no klipas deraisa. I mean, the other kinds of klipas maybe deraisa, but the klipas of halacha don't exist with deraisa. Who cares about klipas min haTorah? So therefore, the Ran would look at these kashas and say, "Yeah, I'm trying to get kashas of these." So Tosis is again. This is the third Tosis l'shitasam. Tosis fracked the kasha, created the Yisrael because Tosis was looking at Chetichas Asleil through the eyes of Rabbeinu Tam and through their version of the eyes of Rabbeinu Tam. That's a chashash deraisa, and therefore they gave up the Yisrael, and it's Yisrael that l'chayr is incomprehensible. I said l'chayr because we're going to find the comprehension for it, but at first glance, it's incomprehensible. This Tosis, what kind of Yisrael is this?
When he made this comment about it doesn't go in terms of distance, I mean, Mitzias, or because of the din? Because
your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. Tosfos is just showing you that's the answer. Tosfos had three kashas, they're insurmountable kashas. There's only one Yisrael that solves the three kashas. Rabbi say,
does the quantity of like how much Devar Mithapeh is, does that make a difference?
I don't think so.
Because the Shach by Hilchos Dagan, Baba Hilchos Dagan talks about Sir de Rabban and how Malicha can still affect.
Too complicated. Okay. Rabbi say, where do you think Tosfos drew up this idea from? I think Tosfos just woke up one fine morning and decided, gee, let's think of Yisrael. That sounds like a great Yisrael. So we've been involved with these three kashas for the last couple of years. Let's think of Yisrael just like that. Come on, that's not how Bali Tosfos worked. Everything in Rishayim, everything in Tosfos was from where? They didn't make up Mama Shatipa Minayam. What? Everything had a raya from the Gemara. Everything. They read the Gemara as a Zah. It's all about they didn't have anything else to read. There were no Acharonim yet. There were no Sifta Gemara. There was nothing else to read. So they just read the Gemaras. That's how he became a Rishon, by reading the Gemaras and analyzing every single word, every single nuance of Halakha Chazal. And that's how he became a Tosfos. So Tosfos, by us, in fact, doesn't reveal what the secret of this Yesod was. Where in Chazal they figured this out from, not just to answer a bunch of, disjointed kashas. But other Rishonim quote from the Ri, the Gros Ashri quotes, other Sefer Truma, they quote from the Ri. The Ri is the Halakha of Tosfos, that the Yesod, how you say this, of this Tosfos, as difficult as it may seem, is rooted in a Beferish Gemara, or at least the way Tosfos read a Beferish Gemara. And what a great surprise, Rabbi Yisai. What else did I say besides talking about Tichnas Nevela every single week? What else did I tell you we're going to talk about every week? Tav Kav Ches. Okay? You're not going to miss Tav Kav Ches. No, it's Chazer again, Rabbi Yisai. Tipas Cholav, no, come on. I say, stay in your sleep. Tipas Cholav Shenafla Chaticha, right? And then Tipas Cholav Shenafla Bekadeira, right? You got it? So the Gemara quotes the Daf Kuf Ches of Bebeis in elaboration of Tipas Cholov. Gemara quotes a Braita on Kuf Ches of Bebeis. Tipas Cholov Shenafel Achaticha. Kevin Shenos Tatam Bechaticha Chaticha Asben Asen Avela. V'yoseres Kol Achatichas Kul Beis Shemina Div Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. Now again, this is the extreme of Chaticha Asen Avela, the ultimate Chaticha Asen Avela that results in the first Chaticha being called the Dovra Asar. Now, all other chatichas in there are going to be getting belias of tam from that original chaticha, and that's a royal disaster of multiple proportions, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Why is that? Because what else does Rabbi Yehuda hold? You combine chatichas levela with min b'minu in a bottle, and you can throw your entire kitchen, you can't drink. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, once that first chaticha became nivla with chalav, and there wasn't enough in the chaticha of atal the chalav, so now that whole chaticha became shtichel treif, and now tam is emanating, exiting out of that chaticha. It's tam of basar, but it's basar that's treif. It's basar b'chav dera. It's when you got to Leiden yesterday, when you heard about Sabash and Dibuchal Avimai, didn't everybody just start to shake? Well, Sabash and Dibuchal Avimai, that's it. This is it. So Rabbi Huda said that when that bit of milk falls onto the chaticha, the whole meat became treif medaraisa because it's not enough to be vatla. It's tam chol in it. And now, second half of disaster is that tam of that meat is spreading to the other what? To the other chatichas. And what's the problem now? It's min b'meat or b'meat in a bottle. So everything's, there's no way you could have a trillion pieces of meat in that pot. It's going to shkaf, and I was going to save you. Now, we don't go that far. Remember, we spoke about this lesson. We don't go as far as Rabbi Yehuda to say min in a bottle, according to most Rishonim. So for us, it's not a world disaster, but it's still a small disaster. Why? Because we reject Rabbi Yehuda's b'min in a bottle, but what do we accept? Tichnas Nereila. Orach Tichnas Nereila has nothing to do with b'min, except according to who? According to the Rabbi, which we never really understood. Okay? So the way all the Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch, we pask in that for sure this Tichnas Nereila deraisa b'as b'chol. That's not negotiable in Shulchan Aruch. Our Rishonim and Chutzpah arrive hold that way. So comes the Gemara and says that even though Rabbi Yehuda made the startling statement, the Chum disagreed. The Chum said, nah! You don't have to be so machmir, just so strict, and say that, well, there's not enough to be vata, the original tifa. Don't just look at the first chaticha, look at what? What did the Chum say? Hachetitin tam the what? Beroitev. Remember this from last week? Remember Tyson's quote of the Rotev story? This is where they got it from, by the way. That you take Rotev into consideration. Rotev, the keep, other stuff. Chaticha, take everything into consideration. So the way the Brisa seems to present, Rabbi Yehuda seems to subscribe to this idea of Tipas Chav Shtafel Chaticha being a disaster. And the Chacham says, yeah, it's a disaster. You can be mitzvah everything to Kedera also. So don't get too comfortable in that reading of the Brisa. The Gemara's going to do a lot of surgery in this Brisa. But at one stage, the Gemara quotes the following. I'm a Rabbi, Rabbi Danasi, who lived already the next generation. I'm a Rabbi. Nirin div Rabbi Yehuda b'shalay niyer, b'shalay kisa. Rabbi says Rabbi Yehuda is 100% right. If you didn't stir the kedera. I'm a Rabbi. Nirin div Rabbi Yehuda b'shalay niyer. If you didn't stir, you didn't cover. Stirring, covering are the same thing for practical purposes. Stirring mamish mixes it, covering causes either the splattering or the steam or whatever kisa does exactly. Another story we'll get to later on. So I'm a Rabbi. Near and near Rabbi Yehuda, v'shalay near v'shalay kisa. So Gemara says that statement is incomprehensible. What Rabbi Danasi just said makes absolutely no sense. Why? Says the Gemara, my lo near v'shalay kisa. Everyone read it? Everyone read the Gemara? Ilema le near klav v'shalay kisa klav. Did Rabbi mean to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the drop of milk fell on the chaticha and you did nothing? You didn't touch the pot. No stirring, no covering, nothing. That's what Rabbi Yehuda meant to say that the whole, everything becomes treif. The Gemara has five words. Mevla bala, miflat lo palat. Yes, the Gemara, that cannot be what Rabbi Yehuda meant. The Gemara is going to immediately revamp Rabbi Yehuda, revamp Rabbi, and the whole Brisa is going to mean something different. But this is an impossibility, says the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda could never have said that all there was a tipas chol on a chaticha and stop, and nothing happened. You know why? Because if that's what happened, then we plug in five words. Mevla translate with me, everybody said, Mevla bola. What was Belaya? Give me the subject of that statement. Meat. The original what? Meat. Meat is too vague. Which meat? The original piece of meat. The original chaticha, Mevla bola. Mevla lo bola. It doesn't what? It's not what? It's not going anywhere. It's not spreading its tam to anything. So therefore, there's no reason under the sun to ask all the other pieces of meat. So that's a given word that cannot be reviewed or meant. The Gemara's taught me right. That question is going to stand, and the Gemara's going to read it for you. But if that would be what Rabbi Yehuda meant, it would be absolutely incorrect, because made from ball and made from the ball. What is the Gemara saying, everybody saying? That the absence of what? Tell me, no. Spell it out for me. In the absence of a nearer kisa, tam doesn't leave the meat. Correct, right? Tam does not leave the meat. It ain't going anywhere. the absence of near akisa. I just have a simple question. Mamish mitzias ABCs. This piece of meat that became treif, the meat itself is mevul balos, so the meat is treif min atoira, but nothing's emanating, nothing's exiting in it. Can someone tell me where this meat is exactly? Where is this meat suspended in midair? Who remembers Rashi in the Ri? Remember? According to most Rishon, according to the Ri, where is this meat? It is sitting above the water level, resting upon what? Presumably what? Or another what? We want to chill it with a lot of, we don't want so many potatoes in that chill. We want a good kishmak, you know, what's it called? Yapchik, chill. Yeah, we want the real McCoy in there. What's it probably sitting on top of? Another piece of meat. And al zenemar, again, Tosis is looking at this bowl of chulin, they're analyzing it, they're mamish looking at it like the same way Tosis last year, Mavakama looked at every single nuance, every Kerem Shein, the Chatzin Nezek, they looked at this piece of meat and saying, wait a second, I got one piece of meat sitting on top of another piece of meat. There's no question about it. Now the rotav level is somewhere over here. As long as you aren't menah, if you're menaris a kadeir, then what did you do? And then you just raise the rotav level, and now you just create an abishal. Or if you're mechasas a kadeir, so then the steam, you just create another abishal. But kolzman ilayim alone here, like kisa klal, mevla polot, mevlat lo polot, it ain't going anywhere. Why isn't it going anywhere? Why isn't something traveling? Why isn't it traveling? Because there's no what? What is the Gemara saying in effect? If you weren't Minar and you weren't Mechasa, plug in terms from last week. If you weren't Minar and you weren't Mechasa, what are you missing? What are you missing? The medium that's usually present to spread bleas. What's that medium? What's the medium? Amar Shmuel, lo shor, lo wat. Elishin's bashval, mitzvah. What is present in Bishlat, not present in Tzli? What's the full letter word, the bad word? Can I get a Hebrew one, please? Right there. There's no juice. There's no grape. There's no liquid. So what the Gemara is saying in that line is lo shonu ella. So the Gemara says ilayim lo mir lo ki. So what the Gemara is really saying, you have to read in between lines. You got to scrape away all the klipas here and read what's really in between the lines here. But the Gemara is really saying is, hey, wait a second. There's no right there. There's no right there. So nothing's going anywhere. Nothing is traveling in the absence of Reitiv. That's what the Gemara is saying. I have a small question for you to think about till tomorrow. If I have two pieces of meat, one is treif and one is kosher, that are touching one another, and heat is applied, and there's no Reitiv, what do we call that? That's called Tzli, thank you. Is there a B'liya for Tzli? Yeah. You better believe there's a B'liya. Maybe not a B'liya, but cool though. But there's a B'liya. Something happens. Am I right? Nothing happens. Shrambam, come on. Amar Shmuel, lo shonu elishes bashvon nitzlov. There's something. So isn't this the halacha equivalent of Tzli? How could the Gemara say with a straight face? Mivla bola, miflot lo polat. What do you mean? Mifla bola, mifla lopolat. Didn't that first piece of meat, the one on the bottom, is this a kosher piece of meat now? No. What halacha did we apply to this piece of meat? Minat Torah l'chol ha'days, even Rabbeinu Ephraim. What do we call this piece of meat? What? This is chatichat asas nadeila. Right? There was a little bit of milk in here, not both mashisha, this is tray. This is like nevela. You ever hear the phrase chatichat asas nadeila? You know what that means? It's nevela. So you have a piece of nevela and a piece of kosher meat that are touching each other without any reactive. How can they want to say maybe lebala mefil lepola? There's no blia, zero bupkis, mapital. Who here read the Gemara in Chulun Kuf Teches Rabeis? Who here read these three lines in the Gemara? But mefil lebala mefil lepola. And nobody realized that kasha. How can you say with a straight face mefil lebala mefil lepola? What do you mean? Dal mehacha. It's at least no right, it's at least Tzli. Tzli has some kind of Tzli. It's Chlichadas Nevela. What happened? So Tosfos read this, reread this Gemara, and the rework from this Gemara really turned it over 1,000 times over in his head, and he came up with two fundamental Yesoda, how Yesoda this is. And once we understand how Tosfos, it's interesting because at Tosfos, we don't have the Tosfos that quotes this Ri. Other Rishonim say for Truma, other Rishonim quote this from the Ri, but it's this Ri on Daf Kuf Ches Amudeis that is the source of everything that Tosfos says in Daf Tzadi Vav. So hopefully from tomorrow we're going to go back to Kuf Ches Amudeis and read this Gemara properly, see what the Ri extracted from this Gemara, the two Yesodis, plug it in to understand, get a better understanding of where the Ri is coming from over here, and then show you how other Rishonim read the Gemara legamrei different on Daf Kuf Ches. We got a lot of work. I didn't say it to be just sugar. We got a lot of work cut out for ourselves in this show tomorrow. Okay.